Today on Sound Doctrine from Pastor Jeff Johnson.
James says, don't say you're going to do this or do that when you go on. I'm going to go to school. We're going to go 4 years. Then I'm going to go over here. I'm going to become this. I'm going to become that. James says, oh, hey, hold it. When you say that, say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. Because who's running things? God. And that's why we pray when we get up every day and say, God, lead me through this day. Your will be done in my life. And use me today, you know, to speak to somebody. Open the door.
Your Spirit leads me on. And I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies. And I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Before his death, William Saroyan made this observation. Everybody has got to die, but I've always believed an exception would be made in my case. Now what? You know, each of us need to come to terms with the brevity of this life and the reality of what's to come in eternity. Today on Sound Doctrine, Pastor Jeff opens Ecclesiastes chapter 8, where we receive the truth about death and what's next. We'll start off now here in verse 8.
Let thy garments, verse 8, be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. So, hey, be spiffy. When you dress up, man. Everybody's into clothes, man. Look at all the clothing stores we have. Everybody's into finding the latest fashions or whatever and getting into clothes, and that's something that is part of this world, apparel. It's a big deal. How about haircut? Because he talks about, and the head lacks no ointment. So you got these new haircuts now. Everybody, are you in style? You know? It's interesting how we get caught up in things. It's not bad. We just, you know, follow what's going on. But this whole idea of partying and spend your money and live the good life, it's, you know, it's crazy. It's that there is no eternity is the devil's greatest lie. Let alone just get out of what you can out of this life. That's the second lie. But the biggest one is that there's no eternity. Don't worry about it. You don't need to make a choice. Just chill. Just do what you're doing. You're okay with God. Everything's fine. You know that. Do you? Are you sure? Or could there be truth in what God is telling us through His Word? That He left us with, that is from Him personally, moved on men, filled with the Holy Spirit, directed their hand, writing these things down for us so we could be strong in the things of heaven, under heaven. I love the Word. The Word is truth. Everything else is a lie. I don't care what book you're reading, it's a lie. You say, well, why are you so down on books and saying they're lies? Because there's one truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. You see, you're so tunnel-minded, one way-ish, you know. Well, I'm sorry, he said one way. He said, truth, I be it. Then I'm going to stick with the truth and let the lies go. That doesn't satisfy me. I don't get anything out of it. I get everything out of this. So what are you hungering for? What are you going after? Are you going after those things in this world, or are you preparing for the next? And are you looking up? It makes all the difference on how you live your life right now, your character. Live joyfully with the wife, verse 9, whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity. Notice what Solomon is saying. He's saying, live joyfully with your wife. And he had 1,000 of them. How can you say that? what? You know? Well, he's saying, well, I've learned. I'm better now. I'm getting it. It takes a long time. But yes, God did say a man will leave his father and mother and super glue cleave to his wife. Wife singular, not plural. As a Christian, and this is a little something from, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll just camp on this for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul's talking about marriage. He's talking about, as a Christian, how are we to live in this world with our wives? What are we to be doing? How are we to be doing it? And what's biblical? What is God's way to have an incredible marriage and relationship? Well, in verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 7, he says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." Now, if Paul's saying time is short back then, that's way back then, what is it today? Shorter or almost done? I see it as almost done. We're there. What prophecy needs to take place? Nothing. Everything is prepared for the coming of the Lord, for his bride, for his church. He's coming at any time. No one knows the time. I don't know the time, but it could be any day now. What needs to be fulfilled? Nothing. Everything's finished. Interesting. Notice he says, "And I say, brethren, time is short. It remains there then that both they that have wives," you guys that are married, "be as though you don't have a wife." What? You mean just go with other girls and stuff? No, he's not saying that. He's just saying the way sometimes we get into our relationship with our spouse, it's so overwhelming, it's so wrong. We flesh out and we won't let it go. That's what he's saying. Don't take it so seriously that you start to say, "Well, I thought you were my soulmate." You're not anymore. You know, whoa, what happened? What happened with commitment and the vows, you know? I don't know about that. You know, and that's what he's talking about. Don't go there. "They that have wives, be as though they have none. And they that weep," you know how sometimes we get emotional in relationships. And that can rip us off because it's emotion. It's feelings. I only have feelings. You know, don't go with the feelings thing, man. It'll rip you off. We are directed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And the wives are committed to submitting to their husbands as unto the Lord. That's what the scripture says. But don't get emotional into things. Don't let it overtake you. This world is full of feelings. "And they, though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not." So be careful of emotions. "And that they that buy," hey, be careful with possessions and materialism. Yeah, but we need that motorhome, because then we can be gone on the weekends. Well, that's going to help your growth in the Lord. Well, if I balance it right, okay, that's good. Yeah, you can play and still build your relationship up with the Lord and have a dedication towards the Lord and go to church. We need this. But we don't need to overdo it with possessions. And, you know, guys, we're in trouble because when we start charging it, we get so under the gun of the possession that the possession possesses us and causes what is one of the worst arguments in marriage? Over money. So, "And they that buy as though they possess not." And so, in other words, be simple in your buying. Don't get in so much debt. But see, the whole world's not geared that way, is it? You got to get more. You got to have bigger. You got to be careful. But then he says, "And they that use this world as not abusing it." Yes, we live in a real world. We are in this world, but we're not of it. We're so different. Christ has made us different. We have a different way of thinking. We're following a Savior, a Deliverer. And he's leading us and guiding us. It's not the way of the world. It's the way of the Word, the way of the Lord. And it's so fulfilling. for the fashion of this world is passing away. You know, it's all going to be old news, man. And the older you get, the more you see that, man, why is youth wasted on the young? You ever ask that question? Why don't we get younger as we get older and have more strength? But that's ridiculous, right? So time is short. Live as though you're not married. Don't get into the emotions of it all in relationships. Don't let money rule your lives, your family, your relationship with your wife. It's all a distraction, all these things, materialism and all of it. Don't let these things have priority, is what he's saying. Don't let your family be your focus. I mean, that's all you're focusing on is your family, your family. You say, what? Jeff, why wouldn't you focus on your family? Because you can get so into it, you lose vision. And when you get so into it where you're trying to figure out what next move to make and how you can stop this from happening and that from happening, forget it, man. It's all about this way. God wants to know. He wants, cast your care upon the Lord because why? He cares for you. You got problems in the home? Give it to the Lord. You got problems with your parents? Give it to the Lord. He'll fix it. He's the fixer of everything. He does it. Sometimes it's in his timing. Most of the times it is. Remember Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happens? All these things will happen. Everything that you're concerned about, everything you're worried about, everything you're troubled about, give it to him. Seek him first in all these areas. I like that scripture in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, where he says, if any man comes to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yea, and his own life, hate your own life, he cannot be my disciple. There's a lot of people who read that and they go, what? You mean I got to hate my wife now? Hate my brother? I love my brother. What are you talking about? Hate myself? Yeah. Yeah, because he's talking about focusing and dying to self. But that you would put God first above everything else. You got problems with a brother? You got problems with a son, a daughter? You give it to God. You ask God to intervene. You ask God to do his will and bring it to pass. So Paul's teaching here is to seek him. Don't seek a wife. Anybody seeking a wife out there? Yeah, I'm looking everywhere. I go to these places. Is she it? I don't know. You're in trouble, man. Well, I'll try this one and I'll try that one. No, when God just says he brought the woman to the man, that's how simple it is. You be patient, wait upon the Lord, renew your strength, and wait. And he will bring it. And you don't have to worry about it because he will bring that one he has for you. He knows backgrounds. He knows everything. He knows how to put one and one together to be one in him. That's important because everybody's running around with feelings and he looks so awesome. He's got that new haircut. He's just, whoa, he's the man. He's got a good job. He's got money. Boy, are you getting hooked. And you're going to have a fall. It's not pretty. So don't look that way. Don't look to your husband or to your wife to fulfill your needs. I think that's important. They're not there to fulfill your needs. He's there to fulfill your needs. Let him fulfill you as a man, as a woman. And then, whoa, you got a strong relationship. You're going to both serve and love the Lord together all the days of your life. So, guys, the pressure is off. You know, don't put mind trips on your wife. Hey, listen, if you just submit to me, I'd love you more. You going to lay that trip on me? One of these days, you know. That's a mind trip. And, oh, you're scriptural, are you? That's what the Bible says. You got to submit, woman. Good luck with that. We need to understand that, yes, we've been given different roles, and yes, God's given us different directions, but don't lay it on one another. You're not fighting against one another. You are one in Him. And start acting like it. And ask the Lord for help. You know what gets me is that there's so many weird books that women have wrote. There's one that talks about it's the total woman. In that book, it talks about how to greet your husband at the door. Put on cellophane and boots and greet him at the door naked. And you'll win him over. What is that? Just but a lust thing and kind of weird. It's not biblical. I never saw anything in there. And Jesus constantly, he didn't talk about go to a marriage seminar, you know, and work it out that way. Yes, enjoy your marriage and really get together with other marriages, but not going to one seminar after another thinking that's going to help your relationship. It's not about the seminar. It's about your heart with the Lord. And that's what needs to be broken. And that's what he's trying to do when we are in trouble in a marriage or in a relationship, trying to get our attention. I didn't see any books written by the apostles about, you know, a happy homemaker, you know. They didn't do it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Love him, then all these things, marriage, money, emotions, materialism, will be taken care of. Amen? Amen. Done. Verse 10. We'll speed it up. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. This is a workaholic's verse. Work, 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 work. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with all of thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. Again, this is what they go back to in verse 10 about soul sleep. It has nothing to do with soul sleep here. That's a wrong thinking. Only one life soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. And we need to work. Yes, work at just loving the Lord. And yes, be good workers and have a work ethic. Our younger generation has lost the work ethic. They don't think they have to go to work every day. I'm taking this week off, you know, or I can't make it then. Sorry. You know, it's all about, you know, I'm worthy. You know, what's that word they use? I'm entitled. It's an entitled generation. But that's not going to pay the bills. That's not going to build a strong marriage. We were warned, man will work by the sweat of his brow. You'll work. You got to be. I'm glad my dad, you know, gave me a work ethic. Or, you know, I would have been toast, man. I just, every job that I got, I did my best, committed the rest, and tried to be the witness I could be. Verse 11, I returned and I saw under the sun, in this world, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding. Oh, yeah, you went to college, so you're making the big bucks. That's not how it is. Or yet, nor notice this, he goes, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happens to them all. Interesting. Time and chance. You know, listen, as far as the whole thing goes, as far as the grave and soul sleep, in Luke 16, going back to that for a minute, both of these individuals who Jesus talked about were very much alive when they were on this earth, and when they died, they were very much alive. And Jesus said, well, for the rich man who is in torment, Jesus said, where the worm never dies, nor the fire is never quenched. There's a whole lot of action when you leave this world, wherever you go. It's up to us where we're going to go. Then notice verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun the battle The race is not to these guys. It's not. Listen, verse 12, the man also knows not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net. This is a great illustration of how things go. All of a sudden, you're a fish, you're just floating through, and a net just takes you up. You're going to be on the table. You're going to go out in the air, and you're going to, I can't breathe. Poor fish. You get out in the air, they just croak immediately. But an evil net took them, and as the birds are caught in the snare, so the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. That's an interesting statement. He said, this is wisdom, and I have seen it under the sun. So really, when it comes right down to it, life is unpredictable. It's not the strong survive. It's not the swift will always win. It's all, and some would say, the luck of the draw. Oh, you just drew it. You know, are you going to win the lotto? I don't know. If you look at the odds, you'll never play the lotto. It's all about chance. Life, is life a big lottery? It's not the strong survive. It's, they say, you got to be at the right place at the right time. Then you get it. And I'm never there. It's like that guy was trying to get down to the pool to be healed. He said, every time it happens and the water shuffles, that I try to get down there, I can't. No man to help me. It just didn't work out. Again, Job had this attitude. It was a worldly philosophy, a fatalistic attitude. Job said, if I die, I die. But come on, Job. What are you talking about? You just giving up that easy and you're just going to die? He didn't care anymore. And there's a lot of people going through that. They don't care. They take themselves out, and they think that's the answer. Not for those left behind, for sure, let alone, was he right with the Lord? And that's the one big question that comes up when there's a wreck, and there's bodies everywhere, and one of them you know. And everybody's asking, well, did they know the Lord, right? Because that's important. If they didn't know the Lord, there's great burden. And you just go, wow. Why didn't I share with them more, you know? Because this is so real. Listen, it's about God's providence. God is sovereign in all of our lives. His will is being done. Do you understand that? For his children, it's all about providence. Or for everything, providence. It's the will of the Lord. James says, don't say you're going to do this or do that. When you go on, I'm going to go to school, we're going to go 4 years, then I'm going to go over here, I'm going to become this, I'm going to become that. James says, oh, hey, hold it. No, this is in James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. When you say that, say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. Because who's running things? God. And that's why we pray when we get up every day and say, God, lead me through this day. Your will be done in my life. And use me today, you know, to speak to somebody. Open the door.
And with that, we've completed the first 9 chapters in Ecclesiastes here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. What you've just heard was a message simply called Death, the Final Frontier, Part 2. Did you know you can hear Sound Doctrine online at sounddoctrineradio.org? This comes in handy should you join us late, miss a study on the radio, or just want to hear it again. That's sounddoctrineradio.org. We also offer a free app that makes listening to Pastor Jeff super easy on your phone or tablet. Just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey. And we can also send you a CD copy of this message for a suggested donation of $5 when you call 800-353-7553. At Sound Doctrine, we're committed to teaching you God's Word, that you might grow in the person God wants you to be. We rely on the faithful support of our listeners to do this, and if you'd like to help people all over the world have access to Sound Doctrine, you can make a secure donation at sounddoctrineradio.org. And while you're at it, you might want to request this month's featured resource. Allow me to recommend Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray. Now in it, he points the way to freedom and power. You'll learn that carnal Christianity really isn't Christianity at all. He very convincingly presents the one decisive step that believers can take to move from the old life to the new life. It's available from Sound Doctrine for a limited time, for only $8. Call 800-353-7553 to request Absolute Surrender. Or you can order it online at sounddoctrineradio.org. There's much more to come in the book of Ecclesiastes. Don't miss a moment of the journey here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. Presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,